Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, December 14th. We're back at you, as always. And we have a couple guests in the studio, and we have a guest host in the studio, but only the man showed up. The women are late. I don't know what that is.
But I'm putting on makeup, Sam.
Yeah. But I'm joined by a very good friend, Dr. Theo Kosuli. And welcome to the show, Theo.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. And excuse my
your voice.
My voice here. It's ready for the 900 numbers, as we spoke before. The fires have been raging in the California area, as you all know from the news. But definitely hasn't taken me out. I'm still standing.
Wow. So it affected you, the smoke.
It affected me. Huh? I'm right off Wilshire and Beverly Hills. Yeah. And the smoke basically, it was palpable. You
wow.
can definitely smell it. It was poison. It wasn't just regular burning of wood and paper. It's basically burning of antifreeze and mattresses and all that stuff went up in the air. And I got a dose of it because I was walking around a lot in the area close to it. And my brother was in the red zone.
Really?
Almost had to evacuate.
This is the fire in the 405, the Skirball one?
He was in Brentwood. Real close to Bel Air, and that area got affected as well.
Yeah, I know. They were almost evacuating UCLA. Good thing they didn't, but it was pretty close.
It got close.
Yeah. So those are the fires, and they're still raging, you know? I mean, there's still some fires, only 20% contained. I came on a plane a couple days ago at night, and you could still see the fires.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In Ventura County and stuff, you know? So that was that, but... those fires are just unbelievable. And, I got a feeling, I don't know, I'm suspecting maybe this is terror, you know?
It seems so systematic, right? So late in the year?
Yeah.
So late in the year?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I know.
It doesn't make sense.
And it's like all around Los Angeles,
You know what's funny is at night, everything happens at night.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost sudden.
Right.
New fire here, no new fire here.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's definitely some kind of foul play.
Right. But, because I think, like, for terrorism, I mean, it's the easiest thing to light a fire and cause a lot of damage,
yes,
you know?
For
so
sure.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, but thank goodness, you know?
And God help us. The news sources, you know, obviously it's like chasing a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, if it was some kind of foul play, mm-hmm. they don't have anything to report on it. So they want more news. They feed on the negativity and the fear that they create. So.
Yeah. Well, Kay Brand just walked in.
Hi.
Welcome, Kay.
Hi.
Sorry to have to put you through the traffic and everything, but you made it, mm-hmm. and we appreciate this.
Welcome.
You're welcome.
Kay, this is Theo. Kay.
Hi, nice
to meet you. Pleasure.
So, Kay, how are you?
Oh, fine.
Yeah, after the traffic, right?
Three accidents.
Wow.
Three accidents. The last one was right at the 101-405 split.
Right.
When I thought I was in the home stretch, that I was clear, it was boom, right there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And, you know, and this happens almost every day, you know. In fact, I'm surprised there's not more accidents because there's so many cars, you know.
Right.
I mean, this morning, this guy turned a U-turn right in front of me in an illegal place. I almost ran into him. I had to turn my car sideways in the middle of Woodman.
Now, Sam, remember, a lot of people out there are on pharmaceutical chemicals.
Right.
On top of their stress,
including me, on top of everything.
You know?
Oh, God.
So you have a lot of chemistry that's just not working to have the response to hitting the brake or turning or anything like
that. Okay, well, I had this
on top
woman.
Of that, cell phone use.
Right. People get distracted like hell, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
all
why you don't get in accidents, you know? Yeah. Awesome. So, we're still waiting for your co-host. Let me say a little bit about you. Dr. Theo Kosuli is a host here. You joined us a couple months ago, and you have a video show with Brigetta.
Right.
Now, we're waiting for Brigetta. Hopefully, she'll show up sometime during the show.
I hope so.
But hopefully, she'll show up for her show.
Yeah, hopefully.
I hope so.
Yeah. You guys can listen to them. They're very much fun, and you can listen to them and watch them at noon today and every Thursday. What's the show called?
It's Be a Master. Basically, it's off of the books that I wrote. the Be a Master of series, which basically helps people master their lives.
Wow.
And I decided to make
that's a serious book.
Yeah,
over
that's
there.
Very serious.
This is a pretty serious book.
Yeah,
this is,
wow.
Today, this one's about psychic energy. Uh-huh. And I started my movement and my journey into the inner versions of who we really are.
Wow.
Early in my life. And I basically put it all together to help other people also find out and make sense of this chaos in this world.
Yeah, yeah. So be a master of your life, pretty much, right?
Yeah, the website's beamaster.com. Beamaster.com. The radio show, obviously, when I wanted to make that and bring it to the people, bring it to the world, so that we can talk about important things like this outside the seminars and all that. People don't have access to me all the time.
Right.
And I'm getting emails from all over the world, and they want to know more. So I said, well, let me do something that's fun for the people. Mm. And Brigetta, she's been in radio before, and I've worked with her before, and she's decided to come on board because she wanted to bring that a little bit more of a fun element to it.
Right, right. So it's a very fun and interesting show. You guys have to catch it. So you're by trade a doctor. What kind of a doctor?
I'm a doctor
of
chiropractic, which means that we use the body. We have knowledge of the body and knowing how it works holistically without chemicals, drugs, or surgery. Mm. So I have the ability to bring somebody back from surgery after they've had surgery to repair quicker and also to find their inner peace in this craziness we call life.
Wow.
I myself have had two open heart surgeries.
Wow.
I've had two foot surgeries. I've been semi-paralyzed. I've been through a lot of bullying. I almost committed suicide at 8. I've been through the whole all levels of feelings, emotions, and actually soul searching.
Yeah, yeah. So you have a lot to be grateful for.
Oh, my God, yes.
That you've survived all that.
I'm
right?
still here.
Yeah,
like I said,
yeah.
I'm still alive. It's
I know,
good.
And you seem to be in great shape, so good for you, man. Yeah. We're very happy for you. Thank you for joining us. So we'll see. We'll talk about different things and stuff, but... So, Kay, introduce yourself to us for those who haven't listened to you before. You're a good friend of the show, and you're a great person and everything. But I heard in the industry two women got committed suicide. Mm-hmm. You're in the adult industry.
I'm a writer-director. I'm an award-winning writer-director and a best-selling author. Yeah.
Right. And you take your career very seriously.
I do.
You've written a lot of books, made a lot of movies. 45.
No, I've written 25 books, and I've written and directed over 50 films.
Wow.
In the past 7 years.
Yeah. You see, Theo, there you go. She's a master of her life, right?
That's for sure.
There you go.
Not really. I mean, honestly, I was my mantra this year, and it was a horrible mantra, but was I'm not in control of my career at all. You know, like the only thing that I can control is my writing, but directing requires other people involved in the decision-making process.
Right.
So like it is in the entertainment industry, doesn't matter if it's adult or mainstream, the director says, I have this great project, I would like to do this project, and then there's five people that look at you and go, maybe.
Yeah, they don't share the enthusiasm.
Yeah. So it's a lot of output and a lot of work for not always a lot of an equal amount of return.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the suicides.
There were two suicides in the industry this week.
I read one of them.
And then
August
there was Urizan.
I was close with Urizan Beltran. I actually met her 8 or 9 years ago when I first started directing in the business for a company called Girlfriends Films, which was all girl.
Right. She the one that was bullied online?
No, that's August.
Oh, that's
August. Yeah. But we don't know why Urizan did it yet. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
That Urizan Beltran. Is it Bertrand or Beltran? Do you know
Beltran.
Her last? Beltran.
Yeah, right. Urizan Beltran.
Yeah. And I, too, met her about 9 years ago. She was a guest on the show and stuff.
She
so
was
I
so fresh-faced
yeah.
9 years ago. I was right. like, something went through Twitter yesterday, and it had a picture of her from 9 years ago, and it just brought it all back. Like this, I remember meeting her and thinking, she had this really unique name in the industry. It wasn't porn star-ish.
Right.
But she was the nicest, most like... No, I hate using the term girl next door because it's so overused and it's meant to have a sexual context to it. But she truly was like that girl, like that you could put in any neighborhood, in any environment. And she was just sweet, just kind, nice, easy to get along with, easy to direct, which is not always the case.
Right.
But August and I had a special relationship because after I left the business in 2012 to or 2013 to write books for 2 years, She was the first person I cast coming back in when I when Adam and Eve wanted me to start making my books into movies, and I made a movie called Safe Landings in 2015 based on my novel of the same title. And you know, I built an entire story around the character that I cast August to play. So it was a big deal. And I held auditions for a week. Wow. So I met a lot of girls in the industry. I had them cold read, just like you would in mainstream. And which means you get the side, you get a little piece of script, and then you read through it, for those who don't know who are listening. And then you read it, and maybe you have a couple of minutes to practice, and maybe you don't. She had a couple of minutes, but it's still not enough. She walked in, she was 20 years old, and she had never acted before in her life, really. Mm. Nor everything that she had done in the adult business up until that point was, we, you know, there's that word gonzo
yeah, that Tori, I heard. Without Tori stories like, or anything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's always a setup, you know? I mean, we don't call the plumber, you know, fixing the kitchen, and the hot housewife is like, woo, you know, I got to get some of that. It's not like that, but but still there's usually a setup, but maybe there isn't, but she was already pretty well known for working for Greg Lansky, who's a pretty big pornographer, and his, but he does very glamorous interracial content. Mm-hmm. And so when I met with her, I went back to some of the I don't want to name names, but some of the people that are around me that I work with closely. Mm-hmm. And nobody thought that August Ames was a good choice. They were all like, she's never going to be able to play that off. She has no acting experience.
Isn't that how it is in Hollywood, though? Hollywood itself, like the people who are in charge, have no imagination.
It's usually men. It's usually men who can't. You know, it's so funny.
But correction on the type of man. The type of man is usually a suit with money, but absolutely nothing else.
In my case, it was guys in jeans and a t-shirt. With
really?
No,
okay. Yeah. usually the entertainers I work with. I get you, though.
Yeah, but it's funny because, you know, I mean, it's not funny, it's tragic. But last time I was here, we were talking about sexual harassment, and I was talking about how, yeah, all my years in the mainstream industry, I was sexually harassed. All of it, you know? So, and then since then, who was it? It was Harvey. That was the first one Harvey Weinstein. We were talking about. Since then, look at this.
Yeah.
Slew of men that have, you know, been outed. And it's unfortunate. Wow. It's really tragic. You know, I mean, Matt Lauer hit me the most because, like, I'm growing up with this guy. You know, like, not grown up, but, you know, like, I was younger thinking he's such a great guy. You know, I hate that.
I know. Everybody seems to think so, you know. But that's the thing. You know, with power comes all this abuse of power, you know.
Responsibility is needed, Sam. And the higher up you go, the more of a target you are, too. And also, the more of a role model you are. You have to basically keep your yourself clean as much as possible. And it's not always easy. Temptation is always there.
You have
to be a master of your
shot. Really,
power is a strange thing. Yeah. It's amazing how it affects different people in different ways. Like for me, any bit of power that I get only makes me want to do more good.
That's because you're a good person.
Only makes me want to employ more people and do more things and create more.
It's like the lottery. If you're a bad person and you win the lottery, you're going to become an even more evil person. If you're a good person, you share that love.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I work with a lot of entertainers that have a lot of wanting to get into business, whether it be mainstream acting or adult. There has to be the core. If the core is not strong, you're going to have problems down the road.
It's funny because August always seemed to have a strong core. Right. She never came across as somebody that was weak and or seriously damaged. I mean, in some ways, it's sort of awful the way that we throw around. And we've talked about this many, many times on the show about mental health and mental illness and all that. But it's kind of awful how we sort of make it like not a big deal that she suffered from depression and anxiety. We sort of wrote it off because everybody suffers from, I mean, for the most part,
something.
Some kind of depression or anxiety
level.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, some level of it. Yeah. But I don't think anybody actually realized it was that bad. We knew. I was well aware that she was a self-loathing type of person, and that's very dangerous, because she was the kind of person, she had eating disorders and the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, it was more than just
warning flag.
Yeah, and then I read she was bullied online because she didn't want to work with homosexuals.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I was watching all this Twitter stuff going on live, you know, as it was in real time, and I was thinking, she's bigger than this. Like, this is no way. I mean, this is just a bunch of assholes. And she's always so quick and witty and smart that, like, she's going to navigate.
Was there a point? There's always a point, though, of such a low.
There
was connection. And was she bullied as a child?
I have no. The thing about it, she was raised in Canada, and it, you know, she's always been. She's told us she's been public, not to us, but in general, the world in general, whoever was following her on Twitter, okay. Or Instagram, whatever. That, you know, she had had experiences. She didn't feel like she was an outcast as a child. Didn't really feel that like she was an attractive kid. She thought that her her features were awkward. But then you look at her and she's so gorgeous. You just can't.
She's a beautiful girl. Yeah.
Just how beautiful. I mean, like, and without any makeup.
I was surprised when I read the news. I was surprised. I was like, what? In the world,
it was devastating.
Make sense.
Yeah, it was devastating, and but it was on a terrible day where the valley felt like it was an apocalypse. We were into the apocalypse because the sky was orange and the wind was blowing 1,000 miles an hour, and debris was flying everywhere. And then this news, and it was like, woo, you know, like. And then it, I think, you know, it's amazing. The adult industry has this way to band together in bad times like this. And we started this mental health campaign. We're all coming out a little bit about what our you know, when I was in my late 20s. I met up with a therapist, with a psychiatrist, actually, not just a therapist, who identified that I was using a very negative mantra in my life. And that mantra was, if all else fails, I can just kill myself.
Whoa, oh, that's a bad one.
Yeah, yeah, right? But at the time it was kind of funny. Like, it was like, you know, yeah. I could.
Like
I could
a way out.
Well, and control, because in the entertainment industry, control. I was in mainstream then, I had zero control. I had a theater company that was profitable in LA for a period of time, but I had, like I was texting you the other night, you know, like, it's amazing the drama that you deal with actors and stand-up comedians. You know, like, they never seem to grow up. They never seem to get their shit together. They're always, you know, chasing their ego. Yeah. But I mean, they're always, it's sad to me because.
It really is, you know, but those people, I don't know what it is about them. Maybe it's the industry or whatever, you know, but
it all goes to the beginning. It goes to the beginning. I found through therapy with entertainers, it's definitely their core values and ethics when they were in the family structure. Mm. That's where it begins.
Right.
And it's,
right.
And the parents, look at society today. It's really gone off the deep end because in the beginning, the parents, they're not even there.
Right.
It's the state and the schools now that are putting in what they should value and actually think is appropriate, right. Which
and
is
we
incorrect.
Spoil the kids too, you know. We give them everything because as kids we didn't have everything. We figured, why not get him this, get him that? But you know what? It's really true. They get to their 20s and they can't take off on their own, you know. They still need that financial help and all that stuff. So, I mean, I've seen it a lot. There are people that at 22, 23 already accomplished, you know. So those, you know, I salute those. But sometimes you just got to really pay attention to what you're doing, you know. And also, I wanted to make the point that this bullying, you really have to disconnect from it, you know.
You do.
Because,
you do.
And it's so hard, you know, because I remember we had a year ago, there was a little incident that involved the station because there was a famous person here. And I started getting so many, you know, so many bullying messages and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, my God, I don't even want to be here.
Yeah.
It really can destroy you, you know, because it's like you against the world.
Why do people put so much emphasis in caring what people think online?
Right. And
why?
Because we care about what people think offline, too, you know.
Yes,
and many
August,
people look for the approval.
And that's toxic, right?
Yeah.
In August's case, she was bullied by another performer. Mm. And it was somebody that she was supposed to be working with.
So it's really close to her work and her life.
He told her to take poison. I mean, that was the whole thing. And I saw the tweet and I was like, oh God, how pathetic. You know, what an asshole. What an idiot. And I never, ever thought that she would.
It's a sad thing all around. We can only learn from it now. I mean, she's watching over from the other side.
Right, but suicide is a terrible thing.
Terrible.
It leaves a lot of pain and a mess to the people behind
terrible. You. Terrible. You know, I was talking to the woman who co-starred with her in Safe Landings, and she's retired from the business now, too. And she lives in North Carolina on a little island, and she fishes every day, lives in a trailer. She's very happy. Brenda James, and she's been a mess since the news of August's death, and she said it's really too bad that there wasn't like a 72-hour hold or like something on her, because she did reach out to her family and her husband and said, you know, I'm going to do this. And,
oh, my God, really? And nobody did anything?
Yeah, no, she notified people. Well, I mean, if they're working, her family's in Canada. Her husband is here. He's also a filmmaker. And so he was, you know, busy. And, you know, you get this and you think, okay, well, hold on. You know, hold on. I'm sure he texted her saying something like, just wait till I get here. I'll be there as soon as possible. She hung herself. You know, that's premeditated.
No, you
that's
have to know that you're doing something
it's
like
not
that.
Like
how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing they tell us is if somebody's coming to you as a patient and they say, I'm going to kill myself, your first thing we ask them is, oh, yeah, well, how are you going to do it?
Right.
And if they say, well, I don't know, maybe, I don't, they're not serious. But if they say, it's going to be at 5 o'clock tomorrow,
right.
I'm going to hang myself in the basement,
right.
and nobody's going to be home, then you really got to get the authorities.
Earlier this year, was it, oh, God, it may have been late last year. I don't remember now. But my uncle killed himself. And it was horrible because he was married for 20 plus years. His daughter was 12 years old at the time. He was a cop on Long Island in New York, and he was retired. And his, I'm sure, and although, you know, there's not a whole lot of, it was too much, it was too little too late for his treatment. Mm. But the weekend before, it was fully premeditated. Mm. And my aunt didn't tell anybody until after it was done. But it was fully premeditated. Wow. He even said, told her, I can't do this anymore. They hospitalized him 2 weeks before he shot himself.
Mm.
And he was awake for 72 hours before, and then got released from the hospital. And that's psychosis or somebody who's fully aware of what their plan is. He could not live another day. But we think that he may have been MPD. Multiple personality disorder, had some type of bigger mental health issue, mental illness.
The mental health issue is definitely a big part of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's not.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the mental thing kind of is not what we think it is.
Right.
Yes. It's a lot of the spiritual aspects of our humanity are opening up, and the divide is opening up right now where people are looking at suicide from a whole different vantage point. And they're saying, yes, it's the soul's way of actually getting out of the situation. But how is it ego for us to hold on to the person here? Or is it better for the person to move on from pain?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's where it is. That's when my aunt decided that everything that she had done, and she admitted to in the aftermath, to have spent years trying to divert him and thinking pep talks and
he didn't want
look at all the happiness and we're so happy. He had everything. He was retired. He had money. They had money. They had not riches, but they were very comfortable.
Right.
And this beautiful girl that they had gone through like 11 or 12 years of infertility treatments to have, and you know, like, they had this life and he didn't want to live it. And it was more than, you know what I mean? When you have everything, it's easy to say you kill yourself and things are shit or you're being bullied or whatever. But when you have all of that and he still wanted out, and he planned their last weekend together, and he waited until, I think it was that Monday, but I'm not exactly true. Daughter was at school that he and my aunt stayed upstairs. And he went down to the basement and killed himself.
Wow.
And she was in the house. She knew it. She was there, and she felt that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to be with him at his last minute.
It's interesting. You know, Dr. Kevorkian with euthanasia.
Yep.
It's interesting. Now, I wonder if his cases now would have a different outcome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Probably, you know.
Oh, I think he was right. I think that there does come that point, you know, like where you just have had enough. You know, especially when you're critically ill or.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, look, I've been very deep in depression where I did want to kill myself. I had suicidal ideation and things like this. But, you know, you also have to have some kind of hope. And that's when people kill themselves and lose hope, is when there's nothing to look forward to. You know, there's nothing that they can see that's going to make them better.
Right.
And get them out of that situation. And that's that desperation. But, you know, at the same time, I feel that suicide is just as bad as murder, because you're ending a life. You know, we're not supposed to end lives, you know?
Right.
You're creating a short in the universe.
But where does that come from?
Well, you know,
religion.
I mean,
religion.
No, religion, of course. But the thing is that, I think even less from a religious point of view, but just feeling that, at least spiritually, you're creating a short circuit, you know?
I know what you mean, Sam. And I did a lot of research on this, and I wrote it actually in this book, The Beastmaster of Psychic Energy. And I really am interested in the past. You know, when I was basically in my surgeries, I was like, what happens if I don't make it?
Right.
What's on the other side?
Why did you have to have open heart surgery?
I was born with an aortic valve that was deficient. And at 28 years old, it was my first surgery. They said that I had 8 months left to live, and I had to make a choice. Take one valve or another. Take Coumadin the rest of my life with a prosthetic valve, or take one with that's basically from.
Were you here in California?
No, I was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Now the next one, I was here at UCLA. I got the UCLA. Mm. So it was very. It's an interesting life.
It was a birth defect.
Yeah, it's birth defect. I was born with. I guess wow. I chose to come in with that. Right?
Yeah, right.
So every 10 years, I get an extension. You know, they have to save my life. Yeah, so yeah. I have to do everything I can while you know, we're in my wings.
You see, so you got your share of things, and you're not committing suicide. So
You know what? I came close to it at 8 years old. I had razors to my wrist, and I said, you know what? Everyone's making fun of me. I am. I'm believing what they're saying. I'm nothing. I'm this and that. But it was coming from people who felt that way. They were mirroring to me. I was becoming a mirror to them.
Right. Because
they had problems in family. And I didn't understand that until now.
Yeah. You know, when someone becomes a bully, it's because they have problems, obviously, you know, and they have no empathy for other people, and they feel like shit about themselves, so they have to take it on other people.
That's great.
You know? Yeah.
Or they're just assholes in general, and they think it's funny, especially now with social media. This is a different context, because social media is meant for entertainment.
Right.
So when you're in that position of entertaining, and this guy Jackson is a gay performer, the one who was bullying August,
right?
Primarily the one who told her to take poison, and I think he thought it was funny.
Yeah,
I think most bullies do.
Yeah, so, no, they don't give a shit,
right?
Man. Anyway, folks, we're listening to Kay Brandt and Dr. Theo Kasuli. Theo, a little bit about you. You are a guest, after all. Where were you born? You were in Philadelphia. Is that where you were born? Or?
I was born in New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey.
Yeah, the armpit of America.
Yeah, right?
I love Jersey, but I'm glad that I'm on this coast, because I feel like I was supposed to be born on this coast.
Really?
Yes, ever since I was a child.
Yeah, what was your childhood like? Do you have siblings?
It wasn't good. I have two siblings. They're twins. Mm-hmm. They're younger than me. They're both in the medical. My brother's a chiropractor as well. And he deals with the... mechanical version, personal injury cases, etc. I work with the more spiritual and emotional aspects of health. And he's in Westwood, and I'm here in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent doctor as well. And we have different philosophies of care for people. And then my sister's a nuclear med tech, and she's in the hospital. She works in the hospital at St. Joseph's. So we went to the healthcare field.
Yeah, and that's cool. You all decided to take yourself seriously.
Our parents made sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, you know. So that's good, you know. I mean, when the parents can direct you and guide you, it's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So were you bullied in high school too? How was high school for you?
High school was terrible.
Yeah.
I was the smallest guy of my class. So, you know, and it didn't make it easier when I told my mother. I was coming home depressed and crying. And it was after, basically, I told her I was going to commit suicide. Actually, I didn't tell her I was going to commit suicide. It was after it didn't happen. Actually, it was an interesting scenario. I was there with the wrist, and I actually had my first psychic kind of experience where I heard a voice, and it said no in Greek. It means ohi. And I was just, like, paralyzed. And then the razor just dropped from my hands. Right. And I knew immediately at that moment that I wasn't supposed to commit suicide,
right,
that there was a toxic environment, and that I was supposed to do big things in this world.
Mm.
At that moment, I kind of knew that as a kid. I was just, I didn't know how, but I knew it.
See, it wakes you up sometimes in funny ways, you know?
It did. It was a blessing in disguise.
Right.
But bullying, it happened all the way from the beginning all the way into middle school.
Yeah. I think pretty much everybody goes through that, right? I mean, because kids are just mean, you know?
Super mean.
Yeah. After high school, what did you decide to do?
After high school, I saw humanity from a very different vantage point. Growing up, and then changing my look and changing my clothes and becoming more stylish and growing up, I saw people then starting to like me. And I was just like, it's this interesting. You hated me, now you like me.
Right.
And now because I changed my clothes and I'm still the same guy. Why did you hate? Oh, it's because society told you because I'm wearing this cool stuff to like me now. Oh. And I saw a perspective of humanity that was really, for me, jarring.
Mm.
Because I saw people that were easily manipulated.
We're still like that now.
Yeah, we are still like that. And I write a lot about that because I'm a hypnotherapist as well. So I have a mind-body perspective of healing. I can totally use hypnosis and chiropractic and the nervous system. I'm like a good hacker. I can reboot someone and help them. I could have definitely helped her. you know, from committing suicide.
But she had to fully admit what was happening, and there was no full admittance of
she would have to how seek, far her depression was. Yeah, there is one step that I can do for someone else, is that they want to seek help.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do that.
Right, that would have been the difference between her calling her husband and saying, I'm really in a bad place right now, I really need you, I really need some help, to I'm calling her husband and saying, I'm going to kill myself, goodbye.
Right, no, she made up her mind that you can't help.
It was full intent.
If she had maybe taken a thought process 2 weeks before, had come in and I explained how things work and how our energy and how other people's energy affects your energy, and we realigned her chakra system and her nervous system, she would have felt better in her body.
She would have felt better
in self-esteem.
I believe it.
She would have been like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to be a powerful person in this world. And it would have been changed, the whole paradigm.
Yeah. So did you go to college?
Yes,
after
middle school and all that, and I basically had this new perception. I enrolled in biochem in Rowan University.
Wow, that's what my son's studying right now. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I didn't know what that was going to do. No guidance counselor told me, hey, you're going to be a mind-body healer in Beverly Hills. I mean, that was something that kind of happened with my journey, because I kept on asking inward more and more and more from the divine. And I was blessed that way to be able to be receptive to it, and also my trials and tribulations. But I did biochem, and then after that I was looking into medical school. But the thing is, when I went to all the different schools to check them out, at that same time I had a semi-paralysis episode happen. I went to Greece and I was in a pool accident. Someone was on my shoulders.
Oh my God.
And you know how we monkey around as guys?
Uh-huh.
He took my head with him when he fell down.
Oh my God.
And snapped my neck, and my left arm went paralyzed. And my heart, my chest were like as if somebody had like tons of weight on it. And I was like, I'm blacking out. I was in the pool blacking out. I was like, I'm dying. This is death. And then they took me out, and they splashed the water on me. I was like in pain. But for 2 months, no doctor could help me. No medical doctor could help me. They said drugs and surgery.
Right.
Back then, you know, I was a teenager. So MRI was like two grand, $3 grand and all that. My dad didn't want to take me in for extra testing. So I basically suffered for 2 months. I just was sitting down. In order to turn to you, Sam, to anywhere, I just couldn't. I had to move my whole body.
Right.
Because I was like one stiff.
I'm still like that
tightness.
Now.
Well, you don't
so
have
I'm turning
to be.
My seat. Yeah, because I've had chronic.
Yeah, it was acute, but it was becoming chronic now because nobody was helping me. So out of desperation, I went to this chiropractic office. I saw how busy he was outside. I was like, what's going on in that office? So I drove by and got myself in the door. And I sat and basically was looking up at the lights. And I was like, please, God, don't let him fully paralyze me. You know? So after he did everything, he explained to me what he was going to do. He adjusts me. And the power I felt that came from my brain into my body was like an electric shock, like lightning. And I started tearing because my arms started working again.
Yeah.
And I said, God, this is a miracle. And I want to give this to the rest of anyone who I come in contact with. I want to do the same thing for other people. Yeah. I was like, you help me with just your hands. And all these guys with lab coats and all these degrees on there, they did nothing for me. I was like, what do you possess that they don't have? He said, knowledge of the human body, and I was trained correctly to care about the human being.
Mm.
I was like, I want to do what you do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to go to this school.
Really? And this gives you the opportunity to involve spirituality and things like that in there, where medical doctors forget about that.
Exactly. Sam, I was not going to not have that experience move me into helping other people realize what real true health is all about.
Right. So you help people. People come to you, I guess, in all kinds of shapes and everything.
Yes.
And so you adjust. What does adjustment mean?
Excellent question. Adjustment in the chiropractic sense means that we look at the x-rays. We also look at the lines, the vertexes, the point of contacts, the way that we're going to move the actual bone to release the stress in the spine. When you do that, the body naturally just talks from the brain to the toes and the toes to the nose.
Yeah.
It just talks.
Right.
And it says, this is what you need to do. Mm. Like for my lungs, for instance, right now you hear me like this. I wasn't taken out. I mean, I could have been taken out on my bed.
Really?
You know, but my body's repairing and I have this communication with it. I'm giving it all the nutrients it needs and it's repairing, you know, it's removing and it's normalizing me. But I'm giving it rest. I'm giving it all the holistic supplementation and also the meditation and the prayer time. So adjustment is basically a correct alignment. Whenever you go to a DO, a doctor of osteopath, or a medical doctor, or your barber that tries to do the cracking sound, they're really messing you up.
Yeah, I guess. So this is a whole different thing.
It's a whole different ballgame because we're trained to actually know where the bone is supposed to go. Only chiropractors have that ability.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, other people will take weekend seminars to learn it, and because they hear the pop and crack, which is only air going back into the system. That's all that is.
Really?
Yeah. It's all coming from the capsules. Uh-huh. It's going back just like when you do this with
your fingers. Knuckles, yeah.
Yeah, it basically goes. But then you can't do it again. You have to wait another, you know, half hour to an hour to make that sound again. Oh. It's because the circulation and the accumulation of air bubbles in the capsules.
And you learned all this in school and everything, right?
Most of it. Most of it I learned outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The bubble, air bubble thing we learned in school.
Obviously. Right. But it's quite a responsibility to do this to people,
quite.
Right?
Huge. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could screw them up, right?
Huge.
Yes, if you don't know what you're doing.
If I don't like somebody, don't ever get me in a fight.
If you don't know what you're doing, but obviously you do.
I'm not a good candidate for chiropractic care.
That's something I hear all the time.
No, I learned that last year during I had an MRI, and I have a condition that
What's the condition?
I cannot remember what it's called. I'm sitting here trying to think of it, but it's the one condition that makes people get worse from chiropractic care than better.
See that is a medical doctor told you that, didn't they?
That was the reading that my chiropractor read that from my MRI, and then my dad's a doctor, and I had him look at it too, and he said, that's exactly what it is.
Maybe,
it's not,
well,
not,
I would,
not common.
I would disagree with that, because everyone can benefit from chiropractic, a different technique of chiropractic, or different things, modalities that are not, you may not have to take an adjustment in that area, but that doesn't mean other areas of your body can't benefit.
Mm.
No, that's something I really... People always come to me and they tell me that. And then all of a sudden they're like...
Well, no, because what I'm talking about is rare. So it's not a common condition, and there is a term for it and there is an explanation for it.
Let me know when you find out. We try to look it up.
Yeah. But it's the way that...
Go ahead, look it up. We'll continue talking.
Yeah, keep talking.
Yeah. This is cool. So at what point did you move to... you moved to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
At what point in your life?
At 28, I had to have my surgery, my first heart surgery. After that, I picked up everything, and that something told me you need to be in Los Angeles.
Really?
Wow. I came out here for a little bit. Yeah, I just had this feeling like that was the city that needed what I do the most. And I came out here. Yeah, it was great weather and all that, but that feeling was right. Because the people out here are really life. And no disrespect to Los Angeles, but the people out here have souls, but they have no idea how they work. And you're laughing because you know it's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. You know, and
No disrespect.
Yeah.
But they're very intelligent. They're very creative. They're very beautiful people. But the inside, the deepness, the depth that we need to work from.
And I think the place makes you that way because, you know, people come from all over the place. We can't really generalize, you know, because they come from all over the world.
Yeah.
But this town makes you that way, I think, because of the competition. There are so many people here, so many cars. You feel and you're competing with the entire world. It's hard, you know. So people are focused on only their goals, what they want to do with their career. And if you can't help them, they move on, you know.
Right.
And that's unfortunately, and I think that's what you're talking about. And there's not a lot of really deep culture here, you know. And
That's true.
But that's Hollywood, you know. We have to get used to it. But like you said, the weather is awesome. I still think there's a lot of awesome people in this town.
No, I'm not
a
saying.
Lot, right?
Again, no disrespect.
Right.
There's great gems in the city, for sure. But in general, the attitude of the city needs to change where we're looking at people for being people, not what they're driving, what they're basically worth, their net worth, and the whole Hollywood thing. That's toxic. Very toxic.
Yeah, it is. You know, and people compare themselves to others all the time. Yeah, and that's toxic. You're right. But, you know, that's L.A. and everything. So what year did you move here?
That's 2006.
Okay, so you've been here a while. This is home for you now.
Yes, it is.
Had you been here before? Did you know what you were moving to?
No, I did come here for 8 months, for a little bit, just to kind of check it out, to see how it is. I don't have family here, but I do have extended family up in Redlands, which I love them so much, but I don't get to see them as much as I'd like to because of all the work. But I came out for a little bit, checked it out, loved it, thought it was, I totally felt like this was Greece with like palm trees, because I'm Greek.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was Greece.
With palm trees. That's true, right? We have similar weather. Call the California weather like Mediterranean climate.
Yeah.
And it's the only place in really in America that you have that. You know, so that's very interesting. So you have a Greek background. You know, my dad's from Greece too, but Opa is right. We grew up with that music. You know, it's amazing.
And very similar to Jewish culture, Greek.
And Israel, they love Greek music. They play it all the time. You know, there's a lot of connection there. But you were born here, right?
I was born in New Jersey, yeah.
Right. It's just your family. Were your parents from Greece?
Both parents are from Greece. They came here.
So you're first generation.
Yeah, first generation.
Yeah, very nice. What town were they from in Greece?
Oh, my father's from Sparta.
Oh, really?
I'm an actual Spartan.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. And his mother was Helen of Sparta. Helen of Troy.
No, she was Athenian. That's why they always fight. Yeah, she's definitely from near Athens, so they don't always fight.
Greek culture is amazing, right? I mean, there's so much history.
Listen, you probably came from there. You probably have some past lives over there.
Probably, right?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. My one of my brothers did a 23andMe,
Oh, really?
Yeah. The genes and the whatever.
They have your genes.
Well,
they have all your data.
Well, at least him, you know, so we can figure out that we have some Italian in us, Greek, you know, obviously. And most of the Jews that were in Europe or that are still there in certain parts of Europe were expelled from Spain in 1492. So they went to different parts of Europe.
Wow.
So we could be very mixed, you know. Plus, my mom is from Iraq, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like,
wow.
You know, so I'm a mix.
Yeah.
I'm a mutt.
You shouldn't like anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
You got an enemy everywhere.
Yeah, I know. But
watch your back, Sam. Watch your back.
But I got the best of both cultures, and it was amazing. The food, the music, a lot of that. So that's interesting, you know. We only have a few minutes left, Theo. Tell people how they can find you if they want to use your services.
You can easily find me through social media. You know, Dr. Kousouli, that's Kousouli, that crazy Greek name. It's like couscous with Bruce Lee.
Yeah, right.
Kousouli. And then Lee.
Yeah.
L-I,
it's a nice name, though. I like it.
So drkousouli.com. Easier way, I may also got askdrtheo.com, T-H-E-O. So that way you can find me. Ask me any questions that you have.
Very cool.
Definitely check out the show. I mean, here on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah.
What time is it on?
It's on 12 noon.
On Thursday.
East, Pacific time.
In an hour from now, you can watch that. Be a master. Hopefully, your co-host will show up by then, right?
Yes, she'll be. I'm sure
she was
here.
Supposed to be here on the show, but she's only 45 minutes late.
So, she lives in Orange County, I think.
I know.
Pretty far.
That's a hella drive.
Hella drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, so at least she'll be on the show, and that's important and everything. Kay, what about you? Where can people find you?
In the darkest region of your mind.
She's written a lot of cool books, folks. If you like erotica and stuff, go on Amazon, check out her books.
Yeah. Kay Brandt, you can find me on Amazon, 25 erotic and erotic romance and even a horror novelette or novella out there.
Really?
Yes, I have two new films that just came out recently. One is called Naked and the other one is Hot Wives and Their Dirty Desires. And both are based on books that I wrote.
That's cool. Yeah. And this is obviously porn that's also for women, right? I mean, it's written by a woman and everything. So it's not just for the guys, folks. You know, I mean,
well, I say 65% of my fan base is male.
Really?
It always has been.
Yeah. Well,
men are far more vocal, and they're primarily the buyers of adult content.
Right.
But I have a lot of
more
really
promiscuous
vocal
and
female
everything.
Fans as well.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at JewelBoxFilms, JewelBoxFilms, and Facebook, Kay Brandt. What else?
Instagram.
On YouTube. Check out my YouTube channel. I've got a whole bunch of really fun, exciting videos on there.
Wow, I gotta check it out.
Yeah, but that's my initial Kay. Last name Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T.
Okay, cool, man. The last few minutes I wanted to just spend on this. Apparently the FCC voted down the internet neutrality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Now, I've read a little bit about this, but what does this mean? That they can, reduce your bandwidth, whatever? I mean,
charge for everything.
Charge you for everything?
Yeah. charge for everything. So every app will become a premium service.
Why?
Why? Because they can do it now. Because enough.
No, but that's a business.
Dollars traded the right hands to make that happen. I mean,
right, but if people don't pay for an app, they won't pay for an app. You know, I mean, those companies could.
Oh,
go
yeah,
out
I'm
of
not
business.
Paying for any of this. Like I'm prolific on Instagram. I post a lot of pictures and I reveal a lot of information about my work through pictures. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah. I know. We're accustomed to everything for free in this age.
Well,
you know?
It's not just that. It's just that you know what you're going to get for a pay service, and that you know you can always upgrade anything, and you know you can pay a lot of money for advertisement on Facebook, and you get all that stuff. But is it worth it? If you have a lot of money, yeah. But if you're just me, you know what I mean? It's really like, what am I advertising, and how does
that's
that?
That's the difficulty
that
when you're an average Joe. Yeah. You can't compete with the big corporations, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
There's no neutrality there.
Yeah, but the internet has made a lot easier, you know, because every company has the same presence, you know, by with a website and everything. It's sort of an equalizer in a way. And, you know, because, I mean, with one click, you can go from Amazon to LA Talk Radio, you know, and the sizes are not even the same, but we kind of have the same presence.
Right.
The same opportunity.
Opportunity.
Right? And that's what happens, you know. So we'll see what that means, you know. I mean, that has some pretty deep implications.
Very deep implications. I mean, like, I was on the phone with AT&T the other day, my most favorite company to talk to on the phone. And they, you know, I mean, my landline was $60-something every month, but it's steadily gone up over the past 2 years. So finally I called up, well, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to cancel this right now. Or you're going to drop this down to $20 a month. That's all I'm willing to pay for this
landline.
I've
done that a long time ago.
Yeah, but I have done it before. And they put you on like a 12-month special and then slowly start to add back in. And suddenly I went from 19 a month to 25 a month to 60-something.
Right. Wow,
and I never use that phone. Right. It's really just an outlet for all of these collection agencies that are, you know, I get one collection agency calling me 3 times a day. And I'm
what about the taxes on each one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's huge. Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. I mean, if you look at your itemized bill, you can't believe. Yeah. Like, I had all of these things on there that I had not, I don't even remember signing up for, you know, like, whoa. Yeah. You know, they just keep adding in packages and doing all that. And I said, I have no, now that you can text 911, I have no need for this phone. So they put me on another plan. Right. They met that $20 price. Good. Amazing how they were able to do that, right?
Just get rid of it and go all on the cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm very close to doing that. Very close.
Yeah. There's probably no landlines left except for businesses and stuff.
Right.
But Dr. Theo Kasuli, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
everybody
me, Sam.
Check out his show in an hour on the video channel.
And beamaster.com if you were interested in growing your knowledge of esoteric information and spiritual healing.
There you go. And
that's
you see,
beautiful.
With the internet, a lot of people giving out free information.
Yeah.
And all they want is a little appreciation. And that's,
that's all any of us want.
Yeah,
a
right.
little appreciation.
Yeah, goes a long way.
All right. And Kay, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
You're a lot of fun. Always love having you here.
I love being here.
And of course, the listeners, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.